Hello, hello, and welcome to the Paisley Penny Arcade. I am Mo, and this is my place. Abdulbaki is the last name, in case you were wondering. Maybe you were, maybe you weren't. How you doing? I hope you had a nice Thanksgiving. I did. Relaxed. Not much to it, just, you know, good food. You know, not a lot of it. Kind of over that, get out the plunger and see how much I can get in there. You know, that's kind of over the top. And yeah, it's just like, why did we do all that? Now, my mom used to put on a spread. Oh, my goodness. Unbelievable. Just really unbelievable. So here we are on the 29th of November, the 29th of November, 2023, the last Wednesday in the month, 2 days after the full moon, waning gibbous. Waning gibbous. Do you like the waning gibbous moon? A lot of people don't like the waning moon because they get all wet because it's waning. Okay, I'm sorry. That's not even funny, but... and some people would say it's even a little offensive, but that's okay. Is it really? No, I've noticed something. Maybe. By the way, hi to all of you. Hi, and howdy. I live out in the West, so we often say things like, howdy, how you all doing? That's me sucking my teeth. I had a friend years ago in college who used to, he's from Texas, from East Texas, and he'd suck his teeth all the time. It would just about drive you nuts, absolutely out of your mind, going completely bonkaroos nuts. Just don't do that anymore, please, but he'd just do it all the time. He didn't care what anyone thought. Boy, he was a poet. He was a beat poet. I imagine he still could be if he wanted to. Unfortunately, we stayed friends for a long, long time, but got to be COVID and got to be politics. And during COVID politics, there were COVID politics, you know. During that time, unfortunately, there were some things that came up that we just could not agree on. And so we kind of drifted apart. And some things were said, and I just don't want to be talked to that way. And he unfriended me on the Facebook, which, by the way, I'm just not getting into anymore, you know. I'm just not getting into anymore. I recently tried to... Well, I'm not going to talk about all that stuff. It's kind of annoying. Social media is annoying to me. To me. It's not to a lot of people. A lot of people say, oh, I like the social media. And I still get on the Facebook and I look at people I went to high school with. And we're all old now, you know. Like, yeah, I remember back in 72, we'd go out to the bars and drink and have Coors beer, and because we live in Colorado, you know, and we'd have a red beer, which is tomato juice and beer. Yeah, that was good stuff, we thought, you know, and drink that 3-2 beer. You know what 3-2 beer is?
No. What is it, Grandpa?
Well, you know, it's only 3.2% alcohol by volume, but you get just as schnockered on that. You know, forget it. What am I doing? Holy mackerel. Holy mackerel. What is holy about mackerel, anyway? I'm sure someone knows. It must be something holy about mackerel. There is a fish that is holy. The fish in the Nile, right about Elephantine, a type of fish that was reputed to have swallowed the phallus of Osiris, and therefore was forbidden to be eaten. And as a matter of fact, the priests of ancient Egypt were forbidden to eat fish at all, which wouldn't have bothered me. I'm not a huge fan. There are some fish that I like. Meet Squeaky, my chair, throughout the throughout the next few minutes that I'm on. You'll be hearing Squeaky as I reposition myself. This chair is horrid. Boy, my back aches. Pardon me. I should get a new chair. I really should. And maybe one of these days I will. It's just one of those things, you know, trying to convince everyone in the house that I need a new chair. Chairs have become, there's this new chair. I think it's called an X chair. I don't need to break the sound barrier in it. I just need to be able to sit in it. But this thing is tilted, you know, a part of something is broken or worn out, or and so it tilts. I had a friend back in California, the year I lived out there. Boy, he was a cool guy. He had been a beatnik, you know, and he was over that. But he was a bit older than I was, and he had a 1959 Plymouth. And it had something real wrong with it. It had a shock or something, or a spring that was broken. And so it tilted to the right. So he'd be up kind of high, and I'd be on the right-hand side, and I would be actually leaning against the door. So if by some mistake the door opened, you know, I would have tumbled out onto the road. And we'd go, and it wouldn't go over about 45 miles an hour. So we'd go on the Bay Shore Freeway from like Palo Alto to San Francisco at 45 miles an hour on a 90-mile-an-hour road, because no one went the speed limit. But so we'd be going down. It was like a tank, this thing. You know, and it just, and this car is just at a tilt, and people would scream by us, staring at us. And I'd say, Chris, don't you think we ought to maybe take El Camino Real? He'd say, oh, no, Mo. That'd take forever. Forever. He never spoke fast. He had books. My God, he was a bibliophile. He had 65,000 books at last count, and that had been years before. I was 18. He was 32. One of the smartest guys I ever met. And he was just cool. My goodness, he was cool. The day I got married, I sent him a wedding invitation. He called me at the wedding venue during the reception. And he called me and I said, Chris, well, how nice to hear from you. He said, don't do it. I said, I got married. He said, oops, well, too late. California time. He said, I forgot about the time change. I said, wow. What a great guy Chris was. I don't know if he's around. He'd be that much older than me, you know. I'm 14 years. So, God bless you, Chris, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. I love you, man. He was really a great friend. A great friend. And smart, and about the only friend I had that didn't do crazy things. I had friends that did crazy things and talked me into doing crazy things. You wouldn't believe some of the crazy, things I did. Great honk. I did some crazy, crazy things, you know. But, you know. Now about the craziest thing I do is have incredibly stupid desserts, you know. My wife Susan likes dessert, and I can live without it. You know, I'm off caffeine, and that's weird because I don't need it anymore. And I've got to tell you something. I'm a lot calmer. It's the craziest thing. I have realized how much of my agitation in life may have been, and I'm a pretty laid-back guy anyway, and I've always been, no, I haven't, but I'm pretty laid back now, and I feel kind of like, wow, has caffeine been that big an addition to my, kind of my, geez, wow, because I'm, you know, I realized yesterday that it was the first morning that I hadn't had any, well, actually a few days ago, I didn't have any caffeine at all. And I thought, wow, I don't miss it. I don't have a headache. I don't have, and I've got some caffeinated half-calf, they call it, you know, and I'm like, I don't want it. I don't want to go back into that. I just don't. And I've had a little bit, like, you know, the Coke Zero or whatever, and it's got caffeine in it. Now, you realize after a while just how much caffeine there is in our society. We are absolutely drenched in the stuff, and nothing against it. I mean, I've been a caffeine intaker since I was 12 years old, and before, because when I was a kid in Egypt, they gave me tea, lots and lots and lots and lots of tea, tons of tea every afternoon, shay waleban, which means tea with milk. So they'd take this tumbler and they'd fill it halfway with tea, really strong black tea, and then they would put milk in it, and then they would sugar it up. Well, they'd put the sugar in the tea first, like 1, 2, 3, 4 spoons of sugar. And then they get mad at you when you were bouncing off the walls, you know? That's the way it was. The Egyptians love their tea. And they'll drink tea right before they go to bed. And I mean right before they go to bed. They'll just take this pot of tea and they'll put those tea leaves in there, and they'll just drink it as strong as can be, strong as Hercules, you know, strong as the Rock, you know, Dwayne Johnson, or strong as a rock, the Rock of Gibraltar. And they'll guzzle it down with a big smile on their face, go to bed, close their eyes, and me, they're out, you know? And it's like, how do they do that? But I'm amazed. I'm really amazed, you know? It just amazes me to no end just how much caffeine there is in our society. And you look at any bottle of cola or can, bottle, who am I kidding? Any can of cola, and it says caffeine, and lots of other drinks too, and you have to look for the non-caffeinated type, and you pay extra for it sometimes. And I can't find, you know, I drink cheap coffee. I used to drink really good expensive coffee, but you know, you get to the point where the economy kind of drops out, and you say, well, can I drink this Maxwell House? And you say, sure, I can drink this stuff, you know, and it's not that bad. I've been drinking that stuff for years. And you get used to it, and then you drink a really good cup of coffee, and you say, great honk, wow, you know, ye gods, what have I been? And then you get used to it again, you know. And the key in life is not to feel sorry for yourself, but to realize, you know, you got to put up with some sorts of things at times. If I was a millionaire, I'd probably still be cheap. I'm a Taurus, you know. I'm a Taurus. And we Tauruses have a tendency to be a little bit, a tiny bit. We pinch a penny until Abe just cries out in pain, you know. Just knock it off, you guys. Spend me. It's like, spend you? Why? You know? For what reason? So, yeah, could be a little bit. You know, on the, not miserly, because I give and give and give. I like to give. As a matter of fact, one of my favorite things is giving. I love giving. I love giving to people who need it. That's one of the greatest feelings there is in the world, is to give. And to give from the heart, and to give because you mean it, and to give because you love. You know? There's a great thing about that. But when it comes to spending, you know, like, this cup of coffee here versus this cup of coffee here. You know, but I did buy some nice decaf, and it tastes pretty darn good. It comes in a bag, and it was on sale. Yep, Taurus. You know, you gotta figure. I'm going to, and if, like I said, if I had $1 million, I would give it away so kids could eat. That, to me, is the greatest sin that there is that we live in a society like ours, where there are billionaires who are terrorizing people, you know, where there are guys running governments, starting wars, where there are terrorist organizations. And I mean, it's just insanity to me, the way the world is. And yet there are children who go to school hungry every day. And if they don't go to school, they don't eat at all. I mean, that to me is insanity. That to me is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. And if I had the kind of money that a lot of people make for making a movie, which is one way to make billionaires out of people, well, I would take that money. And you have to, I know when you're a movie star, you know, you turn into some sort of icon, you turn into some sort of idol, and then there are crazy people, and I shouldn't say crazy, but people who fixate upon you, and they want to do things like they want a lock of your hair, or they want to touch you, or they want to, you know, they want to do things to you, or they want to have you do things to them, or they want to encase you in carbonite like Han Solo, or whatever it is they want to do to you. And so you have to live in some sort of castle. And I understand that, and you have to pay for that. And you have people who depend upon you for their livelihoods, like PR people and stuff. So you have to maintain a certain lifestyle in order to survive. But at the same time, how many cars do you need? How many Lamborghinis or, you know, pizza pies, you know, do you have to have in your garage? I know, I'm just kidding. And I just think that we, I don't know. Have you noticed that people are talking violently? That people use vernacular, you know, I'm going to mash that guy in the face, or I'm going to punch you in the nose, or I'm going to hit that person. And I've heard a lot of that lately from people, and not just people who are celebrities or politicos or anything like that, but just people on the street. I've heard it a lot, and it really is amazing to me. People I know saying things like, if I ever run to the end of that person in that commercial, I'm going to mash her in the face. And it's like, what are you talking about? That commercial about the Medicare thing, this and that. And I said, hang in there, buddy. December 7th is coming. He said, so what? I said, that's the end of the enrollment, and the commercials will cease. Oh. Well, you know, she just irritates me with her. And it's like something personal that just aggravates the, you know, and I think, man, this guy should meditate. But he would rather have his back shaved with a rusty razor and someone smear Tabasco on it than meditate. And that's just our society. That's just the way it is, you know. And there's this violence that has crept into people's minds, their energy, and I don't get it. Now, I'm not going to blame it on caffeine, although maybe, you know, could be, but it's just the mood, and I don't like it. It bothers me. We shouldn't ought to be that way, should we? Should we? Should we? With December coming up in 2 days, the 29th of November. Tomorrow's the 30th, the last day, 30 days, half November, right? Well, there we are. And then we start December. And then comes the winter solstice, right? And there's going to be a meteor shower on the winter solstice, I think. No, that's on the 14th, yeah. And so, and by the way, our radio station is going to take some time off. You know, that's kind of far out. And at the same time, it's kind of like, what am I going to do? Oh, God, I don't know. Because my wife doesn't listen to me. She thinks I'm crazy, you know, and tedious and boring and all that stuff, which maybe I am. But I think our last day is going to be the 20th, which means that'll be a Wednesday, and it'll be aloha oi after that. And then, so it'll be a couple of weeks without listening to me. And I think we'll come back on the 5th of January, it is. And if I am not mistaken, I have no idea what that is. I'm not going to look at it right now. But, so that means we'll have 3 more visits, if I'm right. I may be wrong. But there's a lot I want to get in between now and then, you know, because the holidays for me I love them. Why? Because they're weird. Because they're fascinating. Because they are the focus of so much. You see? They are the focus of so much. So much what? Well, we're going to talk about that, aren't we? We're going to talk about that. And I'm not urging anyone to give up caffeine or anything else. That would be dumb. I'm just feeling a lot less... if that makes any sense to you. You know what I mean? I mean, I could go on and on and on and on about it. I could. It's the jingle bells. It's the jingle bells. Oh, my goodness. Well, what's that mean? Well, it means that's going to be a feature. That's going to be a feature, and we're going to talk about that. And today, since those are the jingle bells, and yes, these are my jingle bells, and I love them. I've always wanted a set of jingle bells, and I have some now. And I'm going to talk about stuff about the holiday, and I'm going to start with jingle bells. We'll talk about that. But in the next few weeks... do you know why mistletoe? Well, you will, but not today. But I'm going to talk about all sorts of fun things. Do you know why we wish you a Merry Christmas? You know. Well, you will. What's that song really about? You're going to know after I get done with you. Young man, young woman. After I get done with you, you'll know what that song's about. The story of Silent Night, you've heard it many times. It's a good one, though. I have a story about it that, to this day, can still bring tears to my eyes. I'll try not to let that happen. How about the Nutcracker Ballet? Was it always popular? You probably know the answer to that. First time I saw it, it blew me away, you know? I mean, I was... like this guy, you know? How about Holly? What is the story about Holly? What's that all about? Or Ivy? Do you know about Holly and Ivy? Do you know that it has a very strong pagan energy and pagan history? Do you know that there are a lot of people who don't like it? Huh? Even though they may put it in their pudding and light it on fire? Huh? We'll talk about that. Do you know that I wished for holly in my front yard? I wished for it, and it grew out of nowhere. And my neighbor tried... oh, I'll tell you that story. I'll tell you that story. I'll tell you that story because it's a good one for the holidays. We're going to talk about Santa. Oh, I've played Santa on many occasions, and every single time I've played the man in the red suit, something amazing has happened. There is magic in taking the name, and those who don't get that magic, those who don't have it happen, well, they're not doing it right. They don't believe. Do I believe in Santa Claus? You're darn tootin' I do. How about the Yule log? What's that? What about a Christmas tree? What is that? Bringing an evergreen into our house and endangering the lives of everyone within. Pardon me. How about that? Why do we do that? What is that about? Is there a connection between that and Osiris? Well, maybe. How about the whole thing itself with Horus and Isis and... oh, no. Am I going to offend people? I don't want to offend anybody. Once upon a time, I used to try and raise the hackles of everybody, but my goodness, I'm too old for that. No, I'm not too old for anything. A few things. Okay, maybe a few things. You know, I can no longer pole vault. You know, actually, I never could pole vault. there's a lot of things I could never do, you know. You know, like old coaching in PE when I was a kid. Are you even trying? Abdelbaki, are you even trying? Are you even trying? And me with my big mouth. Coach, my mom says I'm trying every day.
Okay, six laps, go, six laps. You know, which was the equivalent of running for the rest of my life. So, yes, I'm a wise guy. I'm much better now. You know, I mean, I no longer have to run laps, but... And you know what I've discovered? Now, shut up, Mo. Shut up, Mo. Shut up, Mo. Shut up, Mo. Yes, indeed. Shut up, Mo. Yeah. It took me almost 70 years to realize that there are times when I should just shut up. Shut up. Now, before this is all over, I'm going to get a copy of Jingle Bells that I can play for you. Okay? I'm looking for copyright free, even though the song was written in 1857. Let's talk about that, shall we? You know the song. There's some things you may not know about the song. The song was actually not called Jingle Bells in the beginning. Now, this is fascinating to me. I'm a trivia guy. I love trivia. I've always been into trivia. I was in trivia bowls when I was a young man. I always was, you know, sharp on the mind. Now, my mind is actually not quite as sharp as it used to be. I was, this morning I woke up thinking about the alchemical signs for the planets. Yes, the planetary signs are actually based upon alchemy. And maybe you didn't know that, maybe you did. So, for example, all the planets, their signs are based upon either solar, lunar, or what's known as corruption or corrosion. So, I'm not going to get into it. One of these days, that might be fun to talk about. So, either something has a lunar quality, a solar quality, a combination of both, and corrosion involved, corruption, or earth, which is the cross. And so I was just thinking about that and how absolutely beautiful that is. And you're thinking, well, Mars doesn't, if you know them. And you think, well, yes, but the original sign for Mars was not a circle with an arrow, but a circle with a cross underneath. Cha-ching. And I couldn't remember the symbol for Saturn. Now I've been doing this stuff forever. And I could, and then finally it came to me, and I thought, of course, because the corruption is beneath, you know, is, or the lunar quality is beneath and the corruption is above. But it took me a while, and I thought, man, you are getting old. This is the stuff that goes through my head, you know, while other people are thinking about, you know, little daisies and cherubs and things. I'm thinking about yep, the alchemical symbols, and, you know, it's not normal. But it's weird stuff, you know. Trivia is fascinating. So I've always been quite fascinated with how things get to be what they are. So Jingle Bells. Batman smells. Robin laid an egg. The Batmobile has lost a wheel. And what is the rest of that? The Joker something, you know, or the Penguin. I don't remember what it is. So it doesn't matter. God, how insipid. I think I was in the sixth grade when that became famous for we kids. So the song that we know as Jingle Bells was written by a fella named James Lord Pierpont. James Lord Pierpont. And you're thinking, yeah, so what? Well, this guy was a character. He was a character. He was from Boston, Massachusetts. And he was such a wild kid that his father was a Unitarian minister. He was such a rowdy kid, such a kind of a bad kid, that his parents sent him to a boarding school at the age of 10. He was born in 1822. So in 1832, they pack him up and they send him to a boarding school. And his son's a minister, right? A minister. And so they sent him to a place in Medford, Mass., right? Medford, Massachusetts. And they do things like they, you know, they sled and they do sleigh riding and all that stuff. And he's the guy who ends up writing a song called The One Horse Open Sleigh. Now, did you know that Jingle Bells, what we know as Jingle Bells, was the first song ever broadcast from space? Yup, that's the truth. It was broadcast because they were out there in outer space and they said, Houston, we have a problem, whatever they do, you know. And they said, oh, what's the problem? And they said, well, we see a very strange satellite. It looks like a sleigh of some sort and reindeer. And, of course, it was that thing they do, you know, we see it. It looks like a... And then one of the guys played a harmonica and the other guy, it was, you know, Santa. That's what they were doing. And so one guy played the harmonica, the other guy sang, and, you know, ta-da. So it was the first song broadcast from space. I'll bet you didn't know that. But he was a character, not exactly easy off. And at the age of 14, he ran off and signed on with the crew of a whaling ship. Man, not everyone does that. It's not an easy thing to do. He joined the Navy, and he went off to California to pan for gold, and he went broke. He decided to be a photographer, and that didn't work out, and he owed a lot of money, and he basically just had to light out of California and go back to he actually ended up in Georgia. He was writing songs the whole time. He was an organist and piano player, you know. And so the Civil War is heating up. It's not the Civil War yet, but his father, the minister, and his brother, the minister, they both go to Georgia in order to be abolitionists. They go to Georgia during this really heated up time. So James Pierpont goes down there to where his brother and his father are, but he supports the South, and he is an anti-abolitionist. And when the war breaks out, he joins the Confederate Army. Now, this is glossed over in most biographies about this guy. And as a matter of fact, on some sites, they lie and say that he's an abolitionist, but he wasn't. Yeah. He wrote songs like Strike for the South and We Conquer or Die. This is the guy who wrote one of the most popular songs. Now, don't let this bother you. I mean, Lucky Lindy, you know, Charles Lindbergh, was a Nazi sympathizer, as was Henry Ford, who was one of the biggest anti-Semites in the country. If you've ever driven a Ford in your life, well, there you go. You got to kind of, at some point, you know. So, in 1857, he writes a song called One Horse Open Sleigh. And it doesn't sound a lot like what we have today. I was trying to find a copy of it to play for you. But copyright, copyright, copyright. Even though it was written that long ago, finding one that I could put into the player piano, you know, so I could drop a coin in it, was tough. I'll find one before the holiday's over, okay? So don't you fret. We'll get it there. But have you ever listened to the words of the song, all the lyrics? All right. Well, it might be worth it. Okay. Might be worth it. So you know the first one, dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. Now, my hearing is a little off. As a matter of fact, I woke up on Thanksgiving Day almost unable to hear anything. No idea exactly why. It comes and goes. So, hearing aids, hopefully in 24. You know that one, right? Jingle bells, all that. Now, Here's the second verse. A day or two ago, I thought I'd take a ride, and soon Miss Fanny Bright was seated by my side. Right, it goes on. The horse was lean and lank. Misfortune seemed his lot. We got into a drifted bank, and we got all upsot. Upsot. Well, you know, upset, upsot. Well, I suppose that's okay, right? Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Then the next one is about how he goes out into the snow, and on my back I fell. A gent was riding by in a one-horse open sleigh. He laughed as I lay, He laughed as there I sprawling lie, but quickly drove away. Well, that's nasty, isn't it? So he goes out, and he's in the snow, a story I must tell. So he tells this woe-is-me story about going out in the snow. He falls back, and this guy drives by, stops, points at him, and laughs, ha-ha, and then drives away. So it just goes to show you, even in the 1850s, people were snoids, okay? They were jerks. It just so happens that just is true today, too, and true back then. So don't you feel a little better? I do. It makes me feel a little bit better to know that there have been those types of little nee-nee-nee-nee-nee-nee people forever. And it makes me feel a little better than, excuse me, I'm going to drink a water here, Mike. I mean, after all, I want to be informed. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. You know. Oh, by the way, the first lyric is actually, dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh, over the hills we go, laughing all the way, the bells on bobtail ring. So, it's over the hills we go. We always learned it, over the fields we go. That's not over the fields, it's over the hills. I kind of like that. It means you're going a long ways away. Now, why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? We come to verse 4. Now the ground is white. To go while we are young, take the girls tonight and sing this sleighing song. Just get a bobtailed bay, 240 is his speed, and hitch him to an open sleigh, and crack, you'll take the lead. Oh, jingle bells. Jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Yes, he was a womanizer. And the song is quite deliberately about a sleigh being about the only place a young boy and a young girl, young man, young woman, could be alone unsupervised. So he's saying, you know, hey guys, hey gals, if you want to have a little fun, get in a one-horse open sleigh on an absolutely freezing night in Massachusetts or wherever you happen to be, and, you know, go over the hills and through the woods. Don't go to grandmother's house, because, you know, she's not going to put up with that. So, that's something you may not have known about the song. Now, when I play it for you, if I can find a copy of it to play, you're going to say, that's not the Jingle Bells I know, and you will be right. It doesn't sound exactly the same as we know it. And that's fascinating to me, that over the years it was kind of rewritten to be a little less... however he wrote it. But it's still the same song. You go, oh, that's Jingle Bells, but it sounds a little more something. Yeah. And he supposedly wrote it in Medford, where he had gone to boarding school, or it was about Medford, but another somewhere says it was somewhere else. And of course, it's not a Christmas song at all. It's not even a Thanksgiving song. It's just a winter song. And it's a, you know, it's kind of like Little Deuce Coupe. Or, you know, kind of like Little Deuce Coop. And it's kind of like, we'll have fun till her daddy takes her T-Bird away. It's like that, you know, or Little Honda, Lean Right, you know, All Summer Long. You remember, you know, those Beach Boys songs about grab your girl, grab your car, we'll have fun until, you know, we get arrested for statutory, you know, that sort of thing. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, it really is kind of fascinating. And you're thinking to yourself, maybe James Pierpont. James Pierpont. That name, James Pierpont, what is that about? Well, have you heard that name before? That's because James Lord Pierpont, who wrote Jingle Bells, was J.P. Morgan's uncle. The millionaire built the railroads, which was, in fact, kind of like that one-horse open sleigh, wasn't it? Kind of, not at all. Same idea, but that he was his uncle. So James Pierpont Morgan was the nephew of James Lord Pierpont, who wrote Jingle Bells. So the next time I get in a train, I'm afraid the only thing I'm going to be able to think of is Jingle Bells. Last time I was on a train, which was actually in Egypt, 1973, City of New Orleans by Arlo Guthrie, written by Steve Goodman, was the only song that went through my head as we went from Cairo to Alexandria and back, which is a great song, but you think, oh my God, I got to think of something else, you know. Riding on the city, you know, that's a good song, but ooh-wee. So there you go. Now you know more about Jingle Bells than you probably ever wanted to know. And so as you're listening to it or singing about it, you're thinking, oh my God, this was a song about picking up girls for young men. I mean, is that nice? Fanny Bright. Really, do you think he knew a real Fanny Bright? And what would Fanny Bright have been like? I mean, that 1850s, you know? You know, it's funny. I'm sure my grandkids are going to have a hard time thinking about me and their grandma, but enough. Quiet, Mo. I mean, we were hippies, you know. I was more hippie than she was hippie, but we were, you know, it was a different time. I mean, it was that love generation, you know, that free love. And we were, you know, and so to think about people 120 years earlier than us, 20-some years earlier than us, it's like, wow. I mean, or as the Banana Man used to say, wow, wow. You know, it's just kind of nuts. So I love these little stories because you learn more than you want to, but perhaps they're not as much as you really want to know. You know, I really love this stuff. It's fascinating. Why are there bells on sleighs? Well, because they don't make any noise. It's like electric cars. They don't make any noise. And, you know, they're all going to have sounds coming out of them. That's going to be a law eventually. Now, I guess all electric cars have the ability to have some kind of sound, but they don't for some reason. I have yet to hear the sounds that I would want to have one that sounded like maybe the Jetsons car, you know, or maybe what. That sounded like, a dog growling? That would certainly get people's attention. Or maybe just me doing that. You know. Or yodeling. Yodeling. You know, that's pretty bad, but, you know, you get the idea. When I'm in voice. When I'm in voice, who am I kidding? Yep, when I'm in voice, I can yodel like a songbird. A 7-8 foot tall songbird. Wow. So I think we got to have some fun. You know, one of the best things that's happened in a long time One of the best things that's happened in a long, long time is the exchange of hostages in the Gaza Strip area. That is, wow. That is amazing to me. If someone had asked me, Mo, do you think that's going to happen? I would have said, I'm praying for it. I'm hoping for it. I believe it could happen. But will it? I don't know. But it's happening. And they're talking about extending the peace period another couple of days. And boy, I sure hope they do. Man, you've got to just wonder, marvel. There's a lot going on in the world right now, but that to me, I mean, the horrendous aspect of it is that it happened in the first place. The horrendous aspect of it is that it's a mess in the first place. When you stop and think about all the pain and all the sorrow and all the fighting that's happened in one of the holiest spots on the planet. I mean, there are holy spots on the planet. There are spots that are sacred to human beings because they represent religion. And you think to yourself, man, this shouldn't be so contentious because we human beings, I mean, look at it. Look at it. You know how ill-behaved human beings are? You can't go to Stonehenge and walk amongst the stones. You can't. You know why? Because we humans are so ill-behaved that we abuse the stones, the trilithons. We abuse them. There used to be an inn not too far away from Stonehenge where they would give you a little hammer and a little chisel when you left. And they'd say, go to Stonehenge. Have a good day. Help yourself. My God, that just confounds me that that's how people are. But we are that way. Years and years ago on that trip I was talking about when I went to Egypt when I was 18 or 19, whatever. I think it was 18. 19. I don't know how old I was. And I had a boss, and he was the nicest guy in the world, and he was like a second father to me. All he wanted was some sand from the pyramid. And I stood there, and I looked at it, and I said, I can't do it. It's just some sand. And it was even some in my shoes, and I just couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. Because that sand had been there for billions of years. And I couldn't take it away with me because it was wrong. I knew a lady who went to Egypt and she brought back hunks of limestone that had been the casing of the Great Pyramid. And she gave me some and I said, I don't know what I did with the piece she gave me. I mean, I was like, man, this is like molten lava to me. And she said, I kept big hunks for me. And I thought, big hunks? Lady, I'm sorry. You shouldn't have done that. You know, and she just poo-pooed me, and her life fell to pieces because you shouldn't do that. You know, people don't underestimate the concept of elemental forces. They don't understand what the gnomes are. They don't understand that every rock is a part of a huge matrix of elemental power. And that when you take something away from where it's been for billions of years, and then it's been, you know, chiseled and whatever, but then it's been put on the side of the Great Pyramid, and then it's been torn off by Arabs who want to loot that pyramid. And my aunt lived in Heliopolis, which is in Cairo, in an apartment building that was made from those limestone casings, and it was 600 years old. I couldn't believe it. It was kind of black. It hadn't been cleaned, you know. And I said, man, what is this rock? It wasn't obsidian, it wasn't granite. I scratched a little bit of it, and it was white, beautiful white limestone. I said, oh my God. I said to her husband, I said, how old is this building? He said, this building is 600 years old. They have to replace the staircase every 150 years or something. And I was like, my God, how is this safe? Well, it turns out those buildings aren't safe. They collapse. It's a different story. But I thought, wow, how can you do this? How can, well, they do it, you know. But when you take something like that deliberately away, say, I'm going to take a chunk of this. And, of course, she could have gone to prison for that, not jail, to prison. They wouldn't have. They would just fined her a lot of money. But, and bring it back and say, look what I have, especially when I had warned her about that. Or when you take lava from a field in Hawaii, what are we thinking? You know? Take only pictures, you know. What is that saying? Yeah. Leave only footprints, take only memories, you know, that sort of thing. We humans are arrogant, and I think that that is the price we pay. What we are seeing now is the price of that arrogance. We really are. We have to be more conscious. Man, I don't know. I feel a real shift in the world. And I feel like the earth is just going to say, sorry. Sorry. Can't handle it anymore. I mean, we're seeing it. The microplastics, the regular plastics, you know. I read an article the other day that say that essentially there's worms and plastics in every fish. And it's like, ew, but at the same time, okay. Well, the worms, I understand. I mean, that's just part of the sea, you know, and that's just part of, you know, the ecology. But the plastics, that's a sincere drag. We have to be more conscious. 2023 was the hottest year. When would I hear 250,000 years or 125,000 years? Anyway, hotter than I've been alive this time around, you know, if there's more than one time around. And we have to be conscious of these things. All you have to do is be conscious. Can you make a difference? You're darn tootin' you can. You absolutely can. And you do make a difference. All you have to do is be aware of it. I've pretty much gotten rid of all the profanity in my language. Every now and then a word slips out and I think, doggone it. You know? And I'm only doing it for me. I'm not doing it for the world. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the negativity. And I'm amazed at how other people who are just very fluid with it, how angry they are. I'm tired of anger. I'm tired of being angry. And people are probably thinking I'm weak and stupid. And that's okay. I can deal with that. It's okay. Ah, that's really okay. Because you know what? I'm happy. And I'm at peace. Not everything is right in my life. Is it right in anyone's life? You know? I don't know if it is. But where it counts, there is peace. In me, with me, with myself, there is peace. There are people I'd love to help. I can't. There are some things about people I'd like to really get in there and maybe help them change a little bit, and I can't. There are some people I'd like to boost and say, come on, man. Talk to me or give me a hug or let me in a little bit. But I can't. There are some things that have changed. Maybe it was time. And that's okay. Acceptance is a pretty amazing thing. It really is. But where it counts, I've got my beads, I've got my mantra. You know, And there's a lot to be said for that. And I've got you. I get to write for you once a week in the Power Peak. Thank you, Mark. I get this pulpit. That's arrogant. I don't mean that. I get just to talk to you once a week. I'd probably just go nuts if I didn't. Have some fun with you. You know, enjoy talking to you. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful, humbling experience to be able to share my thoughts. And thank you for writing me. You know who you are. Thank you. Okay, let's have a happy holiday. We're going to do it here. I'm going to tell you some great stories. Until next week, be happy. Peace and love. Bye.
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Welcome to the Paisley Penny Arcade. I am Mo Abdelbaki, and today is Wednesday, the 12th of July. July, yeah. 2023. Oh, the year is just speeding by, isn't it? Isn't it? Already the 7th month of the 23rd year of the 21st century. And to think just a moment ago I was in Mrs. Parsons' fifth grade class at Laurel Elementary in Fort Collins, Colorado. Okay, go ahead, those of you listening who want to steal my identity. I won't get you that far. And now that's been a challenge. And they'll go, yes, yes, I can do everything. Well, go ahead. I mean, really, it's the world today. Oh, the world today. Isn't it a sorry place? It's not that bad. It's weird. A lot of strange goings on. There are good people left in the world. There are good people left in the world, which was proven to me recently. Thank you again. You know who I'm talking to. So, what should we talk about today? How's the weather been? How are you feeling? How has your weather been? Wow. To those of you in Vermont, and I know that there are a couple of listeners in Vermont, Montpelier, and Vermont is a destination place. It's a destination state where people go to, like Colorado. People come to Colorado to see the mountains and to, you know, buy rock candy because we have lots of mountains and lots of rocks, and they make candy that looks like rocks. And it's good. We have saltwater taffy in Estes Park, and of course, I'm not sure what that has to do with the mountains, but it's pretty good stuff. And in Montpelier, Vermont, they have